You're listening to the DW Podcast, insightful conversations on life, love, and leadership.
Start in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So you guys can go there. If you have the BLB Bible app, go ahead and turn to or tap towards Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to highlight that. We're not going to dive deep into that because we did that last week already. But I'm going to highlight Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then we're going to jump to James chapter 1. Okay. And that's where we'll launch from James chapter 1. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. And I'm actually going to read a little bit. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. If you were with us last week, then this will be in some ways familiar to you. And if you weren't with us last week, shoot us a message on Zoom. We can send you the recorded link on that class. Moses is the author here, and he's writing to the people of God. This is what he says. This is the command, the statutes and ordinances the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you so that you may follow them in the land you are about to enter and possess. Sorry, my apologies. I'm also reading from the CSB version of the Bible in case anybody wants to follow along word for word in that regard. Verse 2, do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all his statutes and commands I am giving you, your son and your grandson, and so that you may have a long life. Listen, Israel, and be careful to follow them so that you may prosper and multiply greatly. Because the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. So remember verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6, is the idea that Moses is giving God's people the command, the instructions, the prescriptions, right? The law of God that they're supposed to carry within themselves as they enter into, as they move into the land, a land that's flowing with milk and honey in terms of what Deuteronomy says, but we know milk and honey to mean milk signifying everything that the people need and honey signifying everything that the people want, right? So whenever we move into and live in the land of God, if we're going to talk about it in our context today, whenever we move and live in the places or in the ways of the Lord, it is 100% true that we will always find and have everything that we need and everything that we want at the core of our humanity. Make sense? Okay. Now, in this land, verses 1 through 9 also is teaching us that this word of the Lord that we get from God, and then it was the Old Testament, it was the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. At this point in time, it was only the law. But when you fast forward to our day and age, we're literally talking about all of the scriptures, okay? So we have the very word of God at our disposal. And what this means is that when we look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, there is this encouraging instruction that 24/7, all day, every day, what should be central to our lives is the word of the Lord that actually is meant to give us life. Okay. We talked about this last time. The example that we gave was that we are all familiar, right, with allowing something to be central to our lives. Does anybody remember from last week what the example was that we used to help us understand how we know how something can be central to our lives. Anybody remember? That was with us last week. What example did we use?
The pharmacist and the doctor.
That was the week before last. But think about it's good you remember that though. Think about when the scripture talked about have this word in your heart, talk about this word when you get up, talk about this word when you go to bed, talk about this word when you leave the house and you're on the roadways, talk about this word when you come home. What is it in our lives that we have at our disposal and we actually use it when we get up? Exactly. Our cell phones. That was our example that we used last week to help us understand that when we read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, we're not actually talking about something that any of us in here don't know how to do, right? We all know how to, when we get up, gravitate to the one thing. When we leave, we're carrying that one thing. We come down the stairs to fix food. We're coming down the stairs with that one thing, right? Before we go to bed, that's generally speaking for many of us, that's the very last thing that we look at before we close our eyes and rest. And that's just to help us understand, we know how to center our lives on one thing. Now it's just a matter of how do we align and obey scripture to the degree at which we stop centering our lives around the things that actually don't give us life, but start centering our lives around the one true thing that actually gives life, and that's God's word. Right? That is, if you want to simplify all 66 books of the Bible, I would challenge you for the rest of your life. That should be the most pinnacle thing, the most primary thing in your life that you can lean into and focus on. How do I just center my life around God's word, what he says about me, what he says to me, what he says I can do, who he says I am, right? Like, how do you just center your life around that more than the things of your own way? That will be the essential question for the rest of our lives. And I promise you, if you wake up every day and pursue that with vigor, pursue that with intensity and tenacity, I guarantee you will find yourself living in the ways of the Lord, right? So that's what we learned last week, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. How in the world does that tie to James chapter 1? Let's go to James chapter 1. You're going to see, because we're talking about having the word of the Lord be central to us. There, I think this is a good segue or a transitional story here. Really quickly, Jesus is tempted by Satan after 40 days of fasting. Okay. One of the ways that Satan tries to tempt Jesus is he says, if you be God, if you really be truly God, then turn these stones, these rocks, into a biscuit, turn them into bread, right? Already knowing that Jesus is hungry, right? Already know, like, if you've not had any food for 40 days, right? And you have the power to turn stones into bread, and somebody comes and tempts you and say, yo, if you're hungry, why don't you just turn these stones into bread? Like, be honest, don't raise your hand, but how many of us are gonna be like, you know what? You know, I really can, right? But Jesus doesn't do that. Even though he could, right? Even though he could, he doesn't do that. And why doesn't he do it? Because he's trying to teach us that just because there are certain things that we might be allowed to do doesn't always mean that we should do it. You see how that works there? Right? And so what he says in that, to combat the enemy, he says, man does not live by the bread alone. So biscuits, the bread that is made by our hands. We don't live by that alone, but we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That makes sense? So if we're living by the word, every word that comes from the mouth of God, then we're truly living, right? Now, here's how that ties into James. But James chapter 1, We're gonna helicopter in, okay? James, all of the New Testament books are written to the local church of the day, so they're written to believers, okay? And many of them are written to, more specifically, James is written to believers to encourage them in their walk with Jesus, Okay, look at what James says in verse 22. It's the only verse we're going to look at. Okay, and in pure context, right, you always want to make sure you read before it and read after it to understand, fully understand what's going on with it. But for the sake of time, all right, I'm going to give you appropriate context as we talk through verse 22. So, actually, my thought just told me something different. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit, not my thought. Go back to verse 19. James says, my dear brothers and sisters, he's talking to believers in Jesus Christ. Understand this, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Why? For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. So he's already talking about conduct for those of us who call ourselves believers in Jesus Christ. Okay? If you want something very practical to work on that, right? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. How many of us, though, are slow to listen, quick to speak? And if we're quick to speak, many times we're quick to anger, right? Okay? For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth, moral dirtiness, anything that is against the character and the person of God, right? And the evil that is so prevalent. Prevalent meaning it is everywhere, right? No lie. Evil is at the tip of our thumbs if we're honest, right? How many times, like, real talk, there's never a moment. There is never a moment, okay, where you scroll on your phone. There's never a moment you open your phone and there's absolutely no evil on there. This just never happens. This just never, even these days, bro, evil gets text to you from people you don't even know. Numbers that aren't even saved in your phone. Foolishness. If you haven't had that happen to you yet, keep living. Okay? Evil, like, it's coming for you. And that's why what it means, like, the evil that is prevalent, the evil that is, like, always around us, okay? And that's just in your phones. That's just in technology. Humbly receive the implanted word, the implanted, this word of God that has been implanted in our hearts, in our souls, especially for those of us who believe and follow Jesus, right? The implanted word of God, what does it say? Which is able to save your soul. Gosh, there's so much here. Humbly receive. If we're honest with ourselves, how many times we don't want to be here? How many times we don't feel like getting up and going to church? How many times we don't feel like gathering around the word of the Lord? How many times we don't feel like listening to the word? How many times we get sent a biblical encouraging text message that, if we're honest with ourselves in those moments, I just don't feel like watching it because it's not going to make me laugh. It's not going to be entertaining. It's not going to make me feel better in the moment about myself, right? Like, if we're honest with ourselves. And so when we talk about humbly receive the word of the Lord, to be humble means that you have to come under. Okay, there is this picture. You have to come under. Pride does not allow us to come under. Pride actually forces and causes us to stay on top. Okay, because when we hold on to pride, we're essentially saying that I am God. What I want is what I'm going to do. What I desire is what I'm going to have. And I'm not going to submit to the one who made me right now. I'm good. I'm good. Even though he's the one that puts breath in my body, I'm good on you today, Lord. We'll try it again tomorrow, right? Like, that's what it means when it says be humble and receive the word of the Lord. Like, this is why James is, he's a beast with this. He starts this passage of scripture off by saying, right? Be quick to what? Listen. If you're quick to listen, anytime the word of the Lord comes forth to you, you're going to automatically be humble. It's hard to be humble when you're talking too much. Hard to be humble. I'm guilty. Hard to be humble when I got all the answers and the ways I could do this, this, that, and the third in my head. Hard to be humble. When the Lord is like, Wayne, just be quiet, bro. Just be quiet. And if I'm honest with you, I don't feel like I talk a lot to people, but the most times, the times where I feel like I got the most to say, newsflash, watch this, is anytime on a Sunday morning and I'm in church somewhere. Because I done grew up in church. I done pastored more than a few churches. And my pride be like, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. They probably shouldn't have said that. They probably should have did it like this. Especially when we first went to Fountain, started going to Fountain of Life. Holy Spirit was on my head. He's like, Wayne, come under. Come under. Come under. Why? Because this ain't about your intellect right now, bro. This ain't about how you would do things differently. That don't matter right now. Yeah, you might have a better idea, but your better idea ain't timely right now. Your better idea is for 20 years from now. So close your mouth, humble yourself, be quick to listen, right? And come underneath the word of the Lord that is meant to give you life. This ain't just for kids, y'all. This is for all of us for the rest of our lives. And it doesn't get any easier when you become an adult. Because when you become an adult, like naturally speaking, you can do whatever you want to do. You ain't got to do what people tell you to do. You can say whatever you want to say to whomever you want to say, however you want to say. Because you ain't got nobody there to put you on punishment or punch you in the face. Y'all don't get punched in the face, but you know what I did growing up when I had stuff to say that I shouldn't have been saying to Sister Rachel Hawkins. Shout out to my mom for punching me in the face, right? But James, this is what he's talking about. And so here's what's verse 22, right? Because that word has the ability to save our souls. So come underneath that word so that it might save our souls. And here's why, going all the way back to Deuteronomy, and here's how it connects. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Be doers of the word. Do the word. Don't just listen to it. Do the word. Don't just listen to it. Do the word. Don't just read good books about the scriptures. Don't just read the Bible. Don't just listen to preaching. Don't just sit here and listen to teaching, but do the word. Here's the crazy part. Because if you only hear the word and you don't do it, what does the text say? What happens to you when you only hear the word and you don't do it? What does it say? Y'all got it right there in front of you?
He's like someone looking at his own face in the mirror.
I don't even go that far yet. What's the latter part of verse 22?
Oh, you deceive yourself.
Yes. Right? Deception. You will deceive yourself. You will think something. If you read the word of the Lord, but you don't actually live it out, you will think you are right. But you're actually wrong. You will think you're wise, but you're foolish. You will think you're loving, but you're hateful. This is crazy. Because James is not saying this is what other people will do to you. It's one thing for somebody else to deceive you, right? That's one thing. We don't like that. We don't hate that. But it's an entirely different thing. Low-key psychotic if you're tricking yourself. Deceiving, lying to yourself. What is deception? Deception is when something is masqueraded or pictured or displayed as one thing, but at its core, it's really something else. Put this on for a moment. Okay? Deception. You are deceiving yourself because you are masquerading, you are displaying one way to yourself, but at the core of you, you're really something else. This is like Halloween, and nobody else in the world is dressed up but you. That's what this is. You are by yourself having your own Halloween party. Thinking you this, that, and the third. And the truth of the matter is, you're only deceiving yourself. Watch this. This is for those who hear the word of the Lord and don't do it. if it's possible for you to actually hear the word of the Lord and not do it, and that leads to deception, newsflash, you're ready for it? I wonder then, what really happens then if you don't hear the word at all? Right? Let's be clear. Let's be honest. It feels good for those of us in here, right? When we listen to the Bible, reread the Bible, like, man, feeling good about myself. Did my reading today? We in there. James is like, if that's all you did and you didn't live it, you're having a Halloween party all by yourself. Even more worse for those of us who don't even listen to the word. Like, you're not even deceiving yourself then. Like, you're not even masquerading. You're not even dressing up then. You are literally dead because you're not even taking in the word of life.
It's like ignorance and then hypocrisy.
If y'all couldn't hear him, he said it's like ignorance and then hypocrisy. Ignorance, right? If I'm not even listening to the word, I don't even know. My conscience is seared. I'm blind, right? But then hypocrisy, I do know. I know better, but I don't do better. I have wisdom, but I don't act on that wisdom. Actually, let me reverse that. I have knowledge, but I'm foolish, because to have knowledge and you act on that knowledge is actually wisdom. But to have knowledge and to not act on that knowledge is foolishness. So when you go back to Deuteronomy and it says, get this word in your heart, teach it to your children and the folks that you're connected to, talk about it when you get up in the morning, talk about it before you go to bed, get this word in you when you're in the car. Get this word in you when you're sitting in the house, right? And we do this with our phones, right? If we're going to get this word in us, the whole point of getting this word in us is so that we can live it. That's the whole point. And if we get it in us, but we don't live it, then we're deceiving ourselves. We're having our own Halloween party all by ourselves. And something worse is happening if we don't get the word in us at all. Okay? So one of the things, and this is where we're gonna, break. We're gonna pause, and we're gonna pause the Zoom. We'll conclude here for those of you that are on. But here's what I want to encourage you all to do out of this. One of the things, when you look at Deuteronomy and that word comes through Moses, it's going to tribes, families, people. It's not going to onesies and twosies, right? And if you're going to get the part of getting the word of the Lord in us, when you go back to Deuteronomy, it's talking about it, right? That's not a command to just talk about the word by yourself. That's in community. That's with brothers. That's with sisters. That's with mothers, fathers, cousins, friends, significant others, right? That's what this is. And so when it comes to James, we actually don't just want to listen and take it in. We actually want to put it to work. And so I'm going to encourage you all on Zoom. Find a friend over the next day or two, or unless somebody's in the house with you right now, if you're near somebody. But find a friend, and here's specifically what I want you to do, and we're going to do this, is I want you to share a story, okay? Share a story. And there's a million different ways you could do it. You could talk about where you've come from. You could talk about your childhood. You could talk about, you know, what have been maybe some of the most proud moments of your life. You could also probably talk through what have been some of the most challenging moments in your life. But the whole goal is to talk through and share stories with those that you're in community with. Watch this, though, in a way that turns our attention to God. And one question that I'll throw out there to you guys, how is the Lord at work in your life? What is the Lord up to? What's he doing? What's he challenging you with? What is the Lord chiseling away at in your heart? We'll go the sermon today. What is the Lord burning out of your heart so that he can purify you like gold, right? What's an area in your life that is painful? And you know it is, and it doesn't feel good. If you're honest with yourself, you wouldn't volunteer for it, but you know that it's the work of the Lord trying to remove impurities out of you so that you could be a better reflection of him. Let me pray for you all on Zoom, and God's grace will be here again next Sunday. God, we love you. Thank you, Lord. You are amazing. Thank you for your word. I pray every person, Lord, that was on Zoom, that they were encouraged, inspired, challenged, convicted. Not just to merely say the Bible study was good, or even to say the opposite, Lord, that the Bible study sucked. It may have, but God, I believe that even if the Bible study sucked, your Holy Spirit is powerful enough to take something that's less than par and still reach their heart, still reach their soul with it. God, I pray that they would begin to have conversations around your word, around the stories of how you're at work in their life, with their family members, with their friends, and let that be a sweet and fruitful space. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more resources, check us out at tdhcoaching.com.